This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
أيها الإخوة الكرام وأخوات السيدات سيدات, we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant us His guidance, to loosen our tongues and to open our hearts and to open our minds to the medicine of the Quran and the Sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Whomsoever Allah guides, no one can lead them astray. And whosoever hearts Allah constricts with kufr or nifaq, no one can guide them after that. We bear witness that there is none to be worshipped except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that He is one and without any partner. And we bear witness that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is His obedient servant and His slave. After this, O Muslims, I warn you and advise you with the words of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He said, the best speech is the speech of Allah, Al-Qur'an, and the best guidance is the guidance of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam from his sunnah. And the worst of all affairs, the worst of all endeavors, is the pursuit of innovations in the religion. And every innovation is a going astray, and every road that goes astray, inevitably it leads to the hellfire. O Muslims, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave to us a surah, which is a reminder for us, a surah, which is a source of reformation and reconstruction for us. It is a surah called As-Saff. As-Saff. The ranks. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He begins the surah by saying to us, سَبَّحَ لِلَّهِ مَا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَمَا فِي الْأَرْضِ. Everything in the heavens and everything in the earth that is conscious or unconscious, that is animate or inanimate, of the human or the jinn, that is a mineral or a plant, which is a bird or an insect, which we can see, which we cannot see, which is imagined or unimagined, it has its own سَبَّحَ. It remembers Allah. It praises Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He has created special malaika, those which we cannot even imagine, around His throne, and they are making sabbaha lillahi. Some of those malaika, some of those are from the time of their creation, they are in qiyam, and they will never come out of qiyam. Some are in ruku, and they will never come out of ruku. And some are in sajda, and they will remain in sajda until the day of judgment. And some go around the throne of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They go around the throne of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, where Baytul Ma'mur, the Kaaba, which is in the heavens, and when they make one tawaf, it is so wide, they will never make another tawaf until the day of judgment. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He doesn't need you and me to make sabbaha for Him. He doesn't need sophisticated sperm drops like you and me to make sabbaha for Him. For whether we believe or we disbelieve, whether we obey or disobey, whether we are grateful or ungrateful, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He have creatures who make His sabbaha. And if they did not, Allah, He makes sabbaha for Himself. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, after telling us that, then He says, addressing you and me, those who believe, those who subscribe to belief, those who wear the ornaments of belief, those who say they are believers, Muslims. He says, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu, O you who hold the covenant. See, many Muslims will say, Oh, you who believe. That is very easy, because no way to identify belief. Belief is abstract. No way to identify it. No way to quantify it. No way to measure it. So anyone can just say, I'm a believer. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He heard those who said to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, O Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I love Allah. I love Allah. So Allah sent Jibreel to tell the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, tell them who said that. In kuntum tuhibbun Allah, fattabi'uni yahbibukum Allah wa yaghfir lakum dhunubakum. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He sent Jibreel to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to respond to those like me and you who claim to be believers, who think because of what they wear, because of who they are, because of where they were born, because of their titles, because of how much prayer they make, because of how much Quran they recite, how much knowledge that they have. They think they are believers and they are due some special stations. Allah told them, "In kuntum tuhibbun Allah fa'tabi'uni." If indeed you say you love Allah, then follow me. So it means following the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Belief is conditional upon following the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Why? Because obeying Allah and obeying his messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that is the covenant. So iman comes from amana, and amana is a trust. Amana is a covenant. So when you have iman, it is you who are observing the covenant and the trust. So Allah addresses us, "Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu lima," in the Arabic language. This is called mas'ul. Lima, why? Lima takuluna ma la taf'alun, why do you say things which you do not do? Kabura, great, odious, heinous, abhorrent, hateful is it in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that you say what you don't do. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives you the opposite. Always Allah is dealing with opposites. He's dealing with duality all the time. Inna ladhina amanu wa amilu salihat. Then he tells you why you say what you don't do. Allah hates that. Now he tells you what he loves. Inna Allah yuhibbu ladhina yuqatiluna fi sabilihi saffan ka'annahum bunyanun marsus. O Muslims, I want to talk today about this issue. I want to talk today about the pathology, the present pathology of the Muslim Ummah. And don't think about Iraq. Don't think about Palestine. Don't think about Iran. Don't think about Afghanistan. Don't think about Kashmir. Don't think like that. Because the world of Islam, the Ummah, starts right here. Straighten out yourself. Straighten out your family. Straighten out your neighborhood. Straighten out your society. Don't be worried about the rest of the world. Because if it wasn't for fiber optics and telecommunications, you wouldn't be concerned about the rest of the world because you wouldn't know nothing about it. Look at yourself. Make an analysis of yourself. And what you see in yourself, that's your children. What you see in your children and yourselves, that's your wife. What you have neglected in your wife, you see it in your children. And what you have neglected in yourself, that's what you neglected in your wives and your daughters. The evidence of your iman and the evidence of your neglect is your children and your wives. And look at your condition. So if you went to a doctor, and a doctor wants to tell you your condition after he examined you, it is called a pathology. And I want to define for you the issue of pathology, so that we are not using words that the people maybe they don't understand. According to the dictionary, a pathology is a suffering. A pathology is the result of a disease. We Muslims are suffering, not at the hands of the unbelievers. Allah sends suffering by whomsoever He wants. وَمَا يَعْلَمُ جُنُودَ رَبِّكَ إِلَّهُ. No one knows from where the armies of Allah comes. The armies that strikes at the munafiqs, the armies that strikes at the negligent slaves, the armies that strike at the kuffar, the armies that strike where Allah wants them to strike, whether the army is disease which comes from microbes, or disease that comes from bacteria, or disease that comes that eats away at the heart. The Muslim Ummah has been stricken with a pathology, and we need to understand the pathology, otherwise we can't come out of the condition. And Allah says He will not change the condition of a people until the people change the condition of their hearts. Allah will not change the pathology of your condition until you change the pathology of your minds and your hearts. So let's look at the dictionary for the word pathology. Pathology is the nature, the cause, the progress, and the symptoms of a disease. The nature, the cause, the progress, and the symptoms of a disease. You cannot rid yourself of a disease until you know the cause of it, until you know the nature of it, until you understand what progress it has made in your body or your mind, and what are the symptoms. Because once the doctor sees the symptoms, then he can identify the pathology. The pathology could be internal, or the pathology could be external. And in our case, it is both. We are always Muslims crying and complaining and pointing fingers to the enemy on the outside. We always blaming somebody else. You see, always blaming somebody else. Pointing with our finger while another four fingers pointing right back at us. But we never look at the fingers that's pointing at us. We're always looking at somebody else. We have become today experts on the Muslims. We are Muslim critics. Who doesn't wear a kufi when they pray? Who don't pray with the pants high enough? Whose beard has been shaved, or who shaving it wrong? You know, who's not putting their hands with the right place? You know, who's this and who's that? And we so focus on halal meat. We got books written about how to identify and process halal meat. But we ain't concerned about women that we sleep with if they are halal, or men that we sleep with if they are halal, or the money that we get into our homes if it's halal, or the homes that you sleep in, is it halal? So we Muslims is about talking a whole bunch of nonsense because we hide in the pathology. We are in denial. We don't want to admit that some of the people sitting here with long beards and tall turbans and names and titles and prestigious positions got wives that are still Hindu. Got wives and children that are still Christians. Some Muslim women sitting here today got Hindu husbands, got Catholic boyfriends. And some men sitting here today is willing to give their daughters, and have already given their daughters, over to Christians and Hindus because they're weak and they have lost their identity. And then they hide that issue. They don't want nobody coming into their house. Don't want nobody in their business. Don't want nobody to know. It's like covering up something that you are ashamed of. That's our situation. We Muslims are living in a cloud of shame. So we got low self-esteem. When you got low self-esteem, you lose your own identity. When you lose your own identity, how should somebody recognize us and respect us when we don't even know ourselves? This is a pathology. The pathology could be a medical pathology, or the pathology could be a psychological pathology. In the case of the Muslims, it is both. Look at the Muslims. I guarantee you. Look at yourselves well. 7 out of 10 of the Muslims is overweight. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, obesity is a disease of luxury. So some men and some women, they are born. Some men and some women, they happen to be born with a structure that make them big boned and big bodied. We know that. Yes, some of the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they was big boned and big bodied. But they was not obese. Because if you are big boned and big bodied, the muscle tissue will be like that, distributed throughout the body. But when the obesity comes right here, the Prophet ﷺ said that the stomach is the mother of disease. So the Muslims here, they don't have no time to sit down and study. They don't have no time to sit down and plan. They don't have no time to sit down and plot and listen for the instructions of the leadership. But they got plenty time to lime. We liming. We liming in the morning. We liming in the afternoon. We liming in the evening. We liming on the weekend. We liming for a birthday. We got every occasion is an occasion to lime. It's like an alcoholic. Everything is occasion to have a drink. Because he ain't got nothing else to do. And he used his drinking as a cover for his thinking. And we use liming as an excuse that we ain't got nothing else to do. We got beautiful homes. We got plenty of clothes. We got plenty of food. We have businesses. This community in this country, the Muslims have been blessed. You may have been blessed better, more so materially than any other group of Muslims in the Western Hemisphere. But you spend so much time lollygagging, talking foolishness, sitting in the shade, eating big breakfast, big lunch, big dinners. Some of y'all eating 4 or 5 dinners. You got to eat double doubles in the morning. SubhanAllah. Where is the striving? The Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he did not fight one battle of jihad until he was 54. And he was carrying on the battlefield 18 kilos of armor. 18 kilos of armor. That has nothing to do with whatever else he had to carry, his weapons and other things. Just 18 kilos of armor. And the Prophet ﷺ was marching in the sunlight when it was 106 degrees. He was on his camelback. He was going up mountains and down mountains and valleys when he was 54. And the Prophet ﷺ, he fought his last battle when he was 62. Some of you, if I told you to run up the road to the highway, run up Monroe Road to the highway, you couldn't get there running. If you had to go fight a battle or put out a fire, and it was a mile from here, a half a mile from here, you'd fall down dead. So what kind of Muslims are we? What we prepared to do? What we keep talking foolishness about jihad? What we talking about? What kind of jihad we gonna fight? We only reading about jihad. Ain't no people from here gonna fight no jihad, not living the way we living. Also, the pathology has struck us psychologically. Psychologically. We don't even know who we are. Look at your sons one day and ask yourself, what will my son become? What will my grandson become? Look at your daughters. I see them. I see your daughters and your wives walking in the malls looking like Beyonce. Yeah, Muslim ladies. I mean, they got taqwa. They feel love. I do believe that. When you see a Muslim, the worst Muslim, remember that there's a light of faith inside of them. They can become better. And a Muslim that commits sins is better than a pious mushrik. A pious mushrik. The most pious person that ascribe partners to Allah, Hindu, Christian, whatever they are, if they is the most pious, the worst Muslim is better than them, because at least they say, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna Muhammad Rasulullah. But brothers, take a good look at your families and ask yourself, do you allow your wife to come out the house like that? The Prophet ﷺ said that a man who allows his wife and his daughters to come out of the house looking like the women of prostitution, on the day of judgment, Allah will not even look at them. Allah won't look at them. Because this kind of person is a person, he had no feeling. He did not mind. his wife and children, his daughters, mingling with kafirs, touching with them, dancing with them, sitting down and joking with them and exposing their zina to them, let alone giving your daughter to a kafir on the premise that maybe he will become a Muslim. How in the world he gonna become a Muslim when you ain't got no example yourself? Think about it. How many Qur'ans do you have in your house? And when's the last time you touched one of those Qur'ans? So what you got them in your house for? The Prophet ﷺ said, whoever has a Qur'an with them, it will be a witness against them or for them. So now you got whole lots of books in your house bearing witness against you on the day of judgment. You better get them out your house. Give them to somebody else that'll read them. Oh, Muslims, the pathology is a condition of an organ, a tissue, or a fluid produced by a disease. So Allah says in the Quran, hal jazaa'ul ihsan illa al ihsan? Is there any other reward for good other than good? And so is there any other recompense for corruption and contagion other than disease? Oh, Muslims, I want to talk today about this pathology. We heard the surah from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala where he told us about verbal profession. You know, we Muslims talk a lot. One of the Yahudis said in his book, writing to a Muslim leader, he said, you're right, Islam has a glorious past. And at that time, we were subjugated. And we understand that history. At that time, Muslims was saying, praying, and paying. And because they were saying the right thing and praying the right way and paying with their lives, we were subordinate and we paid the jizya. But today, we only have Muslims who say and pray. We, Yahudis, he said, we're the ones. You beat us saying and you beat us praying. But you do never beat us paying. And that's why we rule you. Who's he written that letter to? He wrote that letter to Husni Mubarak. Subhanallah. 26 million Yahudis is ruling the Muslim world, doing what they want without impunity. Whatever they like, killing, slaying, wiping out, bombing, intrusions, whatever. And the Muslims, they only cry to the United Nations. Oh, Mr. Bush. Oh, Mr. Blair, oh, Mr. So-and-so Kafir, please help us. Tell these Yahudi don't do that to us. Because Allah said, we have become people of verbal profession. لِمَا تَكُولُونَ مَا لَا تَفْعَلُونَ. We make out with show. We look like Muslims. Long throat, big beard, this, that, names, titles, masjids, everything. But look at our condition. And we have academic accomplishments. Yeah, we got lots of ulama. We got lots of fuqaha. We got lots of talibul ilm. We got lots of hufaz of the Quran. We got lots of muhaddithin. We got lots of mukallimin. We got lots of people who carry the names and the words and the beauty, and that's nice. But one action in the way of Allah, the Prophet ﷺ said, guarding and protecting one day in the way of Allah is better than the whole dunya and what's in it. La ilaha illallah. One excursion in the way of Allah, guarding, protecting the Muslims, sacrificing, making jihad, one day is better than the whole dunya and what's with it. Today, O Muslims, we don't need men and women of great taqwa. We don't need men and women of great knowledge. Yes, seek knowledge from the cradle to the grave. Seek taqwa, especially at nighttime. Seek that. But notice that rabwa, Allah mentioned this word in the Quran, rabwa. And what is the rabwa? Rabwa is a high place. A high place on the earth or a high place in our hearts that if only moisture comes, no rain, it's enough. We need to have the people of Rabwa who have small taqwa and small knowledge, but their iman is big and their willingness to sacrifice is great. O Muslims, with little or no action, that's we people. It is a horrible, hateful, and tremendously abhorrent issue in the sight of Allah. The result is deviation. The result is corruption. The result is rebellion. Now, what is deviation? Deviation means a path leading to your destruction. That's deviation. Deviation means to intentionally or unintentionally abandon or choose a different direction. Deviation means to be drawn away from what you have been ordered to do. And what is corruption? Corruption is to contaminate that which is pure with something that is foul or filthy. What is corruption? Corruption is to undermine the morals of the society with base and immoral desires and activities. What is corruption? Corruption is to lie, cheat, abuse, exploit, and transgress the limits set by Allah, or to be silent beneficiaries thereof. Did you hear that? To be silent beneficiaries of corruption. So we Muslims, we have become silent beneficiaries of the corruption, because you don't enjoin the right and you don't forbid the wrong. So Allah is on his way to replacing you with another people who will love him, who will obey him, and he will love and bless, because this is the sunnah of Allah. Rebellion is to understand the law and to make the decision to blatantly disregard it. So, when a man or a woman knows that the adhan has been called in the masjid, you men, and you know the adhan has been called in your local mosque, and you do not make the preparation to go, that is rebellion against Allah. That's why the Prophet ﷺ said, one day after he turned around in the salah, he said, I wanted to go out to the woods and take some men with me and cut down some trees and go burn down the houses of the people who prayed inside their house. He didn't say the people that didn't pray. Now, most of the people that don't come to Fajr, they ain't praying. You can lie to somebody else, but you can't lie to me. You ain't going to get up at 4 o'clock in the morning and pray in your house, and you got cars to come to the masjid. No. You waking up after the sun come up with the urine of shaitan in your ear. And that's why you got a foul smell and you ain't attracting nobody to this deen, and you got problems in your life. Because this deen starts in the morning. It don't start in the mid-morning. It start in the early morning. Those who say they is Muslims, the sign of a believer is to get up out of his bed, to prepare himself at 4 o'clock, 4:30, and get to the masjid and praise Allah and get that cash early in the morning. Now, those who say, I can't do that, I won't do that, I am unable to do that, you are worshiping someone other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at Fajr time, and that means you are associating partners with Allah, and therefore you deserve the fitna that you are under. And we Muslims as a ummah, we deserve the fitna that we are under, because we are in rebellion to Allah. Rebellion is treason. What is treason? To consciously violate the oath of loyalty, the oath of law and order, and to use one's influence to undermine or to overthrow established authority. Now, some Muslims here will say, that's not me. I never try to overthrow no authority. You are trying to overthrow the authority of Allah. You're trying to overthrow the authority of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You are trying to overthrow the authority by ignoring the order of your leadership. You are undermining the authority of the deen in your life. That is treason. O Muslims, rebellion is to turn away. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, they turn away and they make kafir. They turn away and they make kufr. Turn away means what? They refuse. When they are told to do something, they do something else. They ignore it. And that leads them to the furthest rebellion, which is what? Kufr. Let me explain to you what one of the companions of the Prophet ﷺ said. قال رسول الله عن ابن عمر رضي الله عنه قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم إذا أنزل الله بقوم عذابا أصاب العذاب من كان فيهم ثم بعث على أعمالهم. This is in Sahih al-Bukhari. He said, Ibn Umar radiallahu anhu said, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends down a punishment on some people, He brings the punishment down completely on the whole people. Meaning including those among them who is believers. Why? Because when He raises them up on the day of judgment, their actions was just like the actions of those who He brought the adhab down upon. It was only their words that distinguished them as Muslims. But the way they was acting just like the kafirs. So when Allah brings His wrath down, He brings it down completely, indiscriminately. And Hudhayfa ibn Yaman, you know, he was the keeper of the secrets. Radiallahu anhu. Look what he said about this hadith. Hudhayfa said, إِنَّمَا كَانَ نِفَاقُ أَهْدِ النَّبِيِّ صلى الله عليه وسلم فَأَمَّا الْيَوْمُ فَإِنَّمَا هُوَ الْكُفْرُ بَعْدَ الْإِيمَانِ. He said, verily, this kind of statement Allah made regarding the condition of the Muslims, He said, in our time, in the time of the Prophet ﷺ, it was only nifaq. But He says, wallahi, after the Prophet ﷺ, it has reached open kufr. To act that way today, it is not nifaq. He said, it is open kufr. O Muslims, the Messenger of Allah ﷺ said, a day will come, a time will come, when the nations of the world will gather themselves together around the Muslims, like a plate of food, or like a piece of meat that is thrown in the midst of some wild dogs, and they will pounce on them and devour them. So the companions were surprised, because this was when he said this. This was after Fatul Mekh. The Muslims were the strongest. They were the most numerous. They were trying to understand, how this going to happen to us? He said, Ya Rasulullah, will we be at that time a minority? See how they thinking. No, the Prophet ﷺ said, no, on the contrary. At that time, you will be in the majority, a great number. But your enemies, they will have no respect for you, and they will have no fear for you. That sound familiar to us. Then the Prophet ﷺ went on and said, your enemies will have no respect for you, and your enemies will have no fear for you. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will put inside of you, he says, Kagutha Isail. You will be Kagutha Isail. You will be as the foam on the sea when it comes into the shore, and what it leaves behind when it goes back out. Trash, scum, bubbles, trash, scum, and bubbles. Something nobody wants and nobody pay any attention to. But the trash, the scum, and the bubbles of the sea is great. You see how much it is? Go to Marrakesh and go look at it. And when you see the bubbles come up on the shore, that's us. They burst. Broop, broop, broop. Nothing. Then the Prophet ﷺ went on. He said, and Allah will strike inside of you a condition called Wahin. Wahin. He was talking to Arabs. And surely the Arabs of that time, they should have understood Wahin. That's their language. But they didn't know what it meant. Because Allah gave to the Prophet ﷺ something called Jawami al-Kalam. Jawami al-Kalam, pregnant words that have pregnant, prolific meanings from time to time. So they said, Ya Rasulullah, ma wahin? What is wahin? He said, Hubb al-Dunya wa karahiyatul maut. That is inordinate love and attachment to the dunya, and not wanting to be harmed, not wanting to be injured, and definitely not wanting to die. Does that sound familiar? This is our pathology. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to raise us up from this condition. We ask Allah to cure us from this condition. We ask Allah that we be mindful and that we be aware, because the healing of that condition comes from inside. And the Quran is a medicine, and the Sunnah is a medicine. O believers, the Messenger of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, the most stingy of those that mention me are those that they mention me and they don't want to say Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. You see, the Muslim, he don't want to say Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. He want to whisper it, he won't say it to himself. But you want to sing nasheeds. You want to root for your team. You want to say takbir. You want to raise your hand if you won something. But when the Messenger of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, who was khayr khalqin lah, when his name is mentioned, you don't want to say Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So you being stingy. O Muslims, say Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. The Messenger of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, whoever sends salah upon me, Allah will return it back to them. Whoever sends salah upon me one time, Allah will return it back to them 10 times. Whoever sends salawat upon me 10 times, Allah will send it back to them 100 times. Whoever sends salawat upon me 100 times, mi'atin, Allah will send it back upon them 1,000 times. How many people want that reward? So say, Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala ali Muhammad kama sallaita ala Ibrahim wa ala ali Ibrahim fil alamin innaka Hamidum Majid. Allahumma barik ala Muhammad wa ala ali Muhammad kama barakta ala Ibrahim wa ala ali Ibrahim fil alamin innaka Hamidum Majid. O Muslims, the purpose that the Quran and the Sunnah, because Allah, he continues in the same surah, he says, huwa alladhi arsala rasulahu bil huda wa din al haqq liyudhhirahu ala din kulli walau kariha al kafirun. And some other places he says walau kariha al munafikun, and another place walau kariha al mushrikun. So in spite of the kafirs, the munafiks, and the mushriks, Allah will make this deen dominant. He will make it prevail. He will make it dominant over every other system or religion. That is the purpose of this deen. But for something to become dominant, it got to be standing up. You can't become dominant laying down. You can't put the Quran on a shelf. This Quran is not going to cause the Muslim Ummah to become dominant. No, only if that Quran is in the hearts and minds and the hands of the people who establish it. We have to iqamat ad-deen. This deen don't come wrapped up in no package and no labels and no thing and just given to you and all of a sudden people just accept it and pay the jizya. No! This deen come with blood. This deen come with sacrifice. This deen come with struggle. This deen come with suffering. This deen come with sabr. This deen come with planting. This deen come with cultivation. This deen comes because we Muslims, we are involved in iqamat ad-deen. We establish the deen in ourselves. Establish the deen in your home. Establish the deen in your neighborhood. Establish the deen in your society. Build a masjid in your heart before you build a masjid in the earth. We don't need no more masjids in the earth. We need to fill up the ones we got. I prayed not too far from here this morning. I thank Allah for that. I thank Allah for every morning I can get up out of the bed and heed his call and got somebody to take me to the masjid. Or I can walk to the masjid, take a bicycle to the masjid or some kind of way. Brother told me, Sheikh, don't walk to the masjid in Trinidad. He said somebody just got shot the other day. Well, see, if I ain't got nobody to take me, just give me one of them things I can wear. I'm going to the masjid. Give me one of them things I can wear. And I'm walking to the masjid. Because the ones who want to get robbed might get robbed by me. Yeah. So, we Muslims, we have to have that feeling. No excuse. We got to go to the masjid and get paid. We got to go to the masjid and check in. We got to go to the masjid and validate our Islam for the day. Because your Islam is only validated day by day. You ain't got no life validation. It's validated day by day. And Malikul Maut might come to you anytime today or anytime tonight. Do you want Malikul Maut to come to you and you ain't validate your deen this morning? You ain't validate your deen last night? The Messenger of Allah said, whoever prayed the Isha prayer in Jamaat and prayed the Fajr prayer in Jamaat, it's like they prayed the whole night. How many people want to get that benefit? Oh, Muslims, look at the proposition Allah makes to us in the same surah. He says, Hal adullakum ala tijarakum tijaratin tunjikum min adhabin alim. Can I lead you to a bargain? Can I lead you to a commerce? Can I lead you to some business? Can I lead you to a benefit, a deal with Allah that will save you from a grievous chastisement? Now, man, look. If somebody came to you and said they got a deal for you, invest $1,000, and I guarantee you that this business is going to produce for you in the next 6 months, $10,000. I believe everybody here going to bet. Once you get the evidence, you see the performance of that company, you're going to give up that $1,000. Matter of fact, you say, look, can I invest $10,000? Matter of fact, can I invest $100,000? Because you see the performance of the company. You want to invest as much as you can. So that's a deal with a human company. That's a deal with your neighbor or somebody up the street. That's a worldly deal. But look at this deal Allah is offering us. Allah offering us to do a deal with Him. عَلَى تِجَارَةٍ تُنْجِيكُمْ مِنْ عَذَابٍ أَلِيمٍ. That will save you from a grievous chastisement. What did he say? تُؤْمِنُوا بِاللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ صلى الله عليه وسلم وَتِجَاهِدُونَ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ بِأَمْوَالِكُمْ وَأَنفُسِكُمْ ذَلِكُمْ خَيْرٌ لَكُمْ إِن كُنتُمْ تَعْلَمُونَ. Believe in Allah. Have amana and trust and covenant and bay'ah with Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And that also means with the leaders of the Muslims. Because the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he ain't here. You know, we got some people here to be talking about the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam come down on Thursdays and sit with them. They crazy. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is dead. In his grave. And whoever go to his grave and speak to him expecting the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to hear him and return back is a mushrik. And whoever say that the Prophet ﷺ is not dead, but that he's living in some other kind of form, is a mushrik. Because when Umar ibn Khattab put his hands on his sword after the Prophet ﷺ passed away, and he said, if anybody say the Prophet ﷺ is dead, I'll cut his head off. Abu Bakr as-Siddiq stood up and said, O people, if any one of you worships Muhammad ﷺ, know that Muhammad is dead ﷺ. But whomsoever worships Allah, Allah is hayyun da'imun la yamut. And Umar, he was ashamed. He put his head down and sat down. Because a man who had greater love for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who had greater cognizance of the truth, had spoken, and he had to sit down. And oh Muslims, I'm telling you, Allah says, tu'minu billahi wa rasulihi. Keep your iman. Keep your covenant with Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Wa tujahiduna fi sabilillah, and make effort in the way of Allah with your goods and your person. What is your goods? Your goods is your money. Your goods is your property. Your goods is your material resources. You need to ask yourself, what do I have? And what have I spent? And what will I spend? Then he says, bi anfusikum, not just what you got. Because you're a rich man, you can give money. That ain't enough. Anfusikum, your time, your energy, your loyalty for this deen. Dhalikum khayrun lakum in kuntum ta'lamun. He said, that giving, sacrificing, spending, contributing, suffering in the way of Allah, that is better for you if you only knew. Then he goes on to say, يَدْخِلْكُمْ جَنَّاتٍ تَجْرِي مِنْ تَحْتِيَ الْأَنْهَارِ وَيُدْخِلْكُمْ. He says, and he will cause you to enter gardens beneath which rivers flow. And that is the supreme achievement. But Allah, He knows that some of us, the Jannah, the Akhirah, is not enough. Because we still dunyaized. We still hooked up on the dunya. We still thinking about our life and our money. So Allah give us another deal. Listen at this one. He know that some of us, the akhirah ain't enough. We want to see something now. So look what Allah says. He says, wa ukhara tuhibbunaha nasrun min Allahi wa fathun qareeb. Look how wise Allah is. He know the people. He know that some people are standing in the back saying, what Muhammad talking about akhirah? I don't even understand that yet. What I'm going to get? What I'm going to get right now? Allah says to them, wa ukhara tuhibbunaha nasrun min Allahi wa fatun kareem. And another favor which you do love, which Allah, He knows that you love, nasrun min Allah, help from Allah, support from Allah, aid from Allah, and a victory that will come quickly. Because some of us, we want that quick victory. But victory only comes after hardship. Innama al-usri yusra. Victory comes after hardship. O Muslims, the result, يَغْفِرْ لَكُمْ ذُنُوبَكُمْ وَيَدْخِلْكُمْ جَنَّاتٍ تَجْرِي مِنْ تَحْتِيَ الْأَنْهَارِ. The appeal, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the same surah, O you who believe, be helpers of Allah, be supporters in the cause of Allah, be supporters of your own selves, be supporters of your own cause. Change your thinking, O Muslims, in order to change your condition. O you who believe, O Muslims, reverse this pathology. Arrest this cancer, this disease in our ummah, in your family, in your society, and what is presently threatening this ummah. O Muslims, you and I can reverse this pathology, but we got to listen to the orders of the doctor. The doctor is Rasulullah, who was sent by Al-Hakim, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Allah knows the best. And his messenger is Sadiq al-Masduq. He's the most truthful anybody that spoke the truth. O Muslims, think about this matter. The life that you save may be your own. رَبِّنَا آتِنَا فِي الدُّنْيَا حَسَّنَةً وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ حَسَّنَةً وَقِينَ عَذَابَ النَّارِ. رَبِّنَا آتِنَا مِنْ لَدُنْكُ رَحْمَةً وَحَيِّئْنَا مِنْ أَمْرِنَا رَشَدًا. رَبِّنَا إِنَّنَا آمَنَا فَاغْفِرْ لَنَا ذُنُوبَنَا وَقِينَا عَذَابَ النَّارِ. ربنا آمنا فاغفر لنا وارحمنا وأنت خير الراحمين. لا إله إلا أنت سبحانك إني كنت من الظالمين. يا الله غفور رحيم برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين. عباد الله، إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون. وذكر الله تعالى وأعلى وأولى وعز وجل وتم وحم وأكبر وأقم الصلاة.